Welcome to this week's edition of Empowered by the Spirit on Relevant Radio, hosted by Deacon Steve Greco of Spirit-Filled Hearts Ministry. For the next hour, join Deacon Steve and his guests as they share their testimonies, love of their Catholic faith, and the importance of the Holy Spirit in all our lives. Now, here's Deacon Steve.
Hello, everyone. This is Deacon Steve Greco, high atop the Tower of Hope here in beautiful Christ Cathedral. And this is an historic day in the history of our over 200 shows on Empowered by the Spirit, because we have an incredible number of great guests with us from the Philippines, from here locally. There's actually a total here of five of us in the studio. And one of the keynote people is Father Ray Dagatera, who is from Tondo at San Paolo Apostolate. And this is a church that Spirit-Filled Hearts is involved in helping finish. It is in the middle of what is considered to be the poorest of the poor area in the Manila. 250,000, Father?
Yeah. We have this from National Philippine Statistics Authority. We got this data. We have already 250,000.
Unbelievable. And these people are, for the most part, among the poorest of the poor areas. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Absolutely incredible. And we also have, from the Philippines, my partner in Asia, who is just amazing person, Glenda Myrel Antonio. And Glenda, welcome to the show again. You were on, it's been a while now.
It's been a while, but I'm glad to be back.
Yes. And then we have one of our leaders here from Spirit-Filled Hearts that does Unbound Ministry, Spanish Ministry, every kind of ministry you can think of, Lourdes Morales.
Hello, Deacon.
It's so great to have you. And we also have another one of our leaders here. What is your name again? Kathleen and Emily Hughes, Katie Hughes. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. So glad to be here with all of you.
So why do we have so many people? Because we're answering the call to say yes to Jesus. Right now, our church is filled with challenges, and I guess maybe it's always been that way, but it feels more than ever that our church is filled with challenges as it relates to the scandals that have gone on, especially here in the United States, but certainly worldwide. But regardless of what has gone on, every single day is a day to say yes to Jesus. And tell us about your journey, Father. How long have you been a priest? You're a Kenosian?
Yes.
And tell us about what do the Kenosians stand for as it relates to what is their particular charism?
Yeah, particularly I am from Mindanao, the Philippine southern part of Mindanao. I've been 19 years as a priest now.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's pretty amazing because you're only 29 years of age.
Oh.
So.
I mean, work a lot with that.
Yeah. I mean, those that are watching this on Facebook Live can see how young he is. You know, it must be because you're such a good person, right?
Thank you.
And you get younger all the time.
Yeah.
So 19 years as a priest.
Yeah.
And why did you join the Kenosian Order?
Oh, practically when I was a student then, I wanted to just to be with friends, you know. And I love working with the youth, young people in our parish. That's it, just enjoying the time. You know. But I realized that always serving in the church, I'm playing guitar during the Mass.
Oh,
accompanying my,
you've been holding out on me.
Yeah. But that was before.
Katie, you know. He plays the guitar.
Before. Now, yeah, I enjoyed with the young people. You know. And here comes the priest who came there to campaign for vocation. Now he's our general, Father Carlo. At that time, I was just a student. You know. I am studying engineering, civil engineering.
Wow.
And when I finished that one, I continued to serve the church, you know, in our parish while working at the time. Mm-hmm. And Father Carlo invited me to come over to Manila. No. And I was just thinking just to visit him. But I had also in my mind that maybe how about I could try also to become a priest. No.
And how old were you?
I was 25 years old at that time. Yeah.
My brothers and sisters, you are on Empowered by the Spirit. This is Deacon Steve Greco. Father Ray is Kenosian priest from Manila, from Tondo area. And he has talked about how he answered a call, the call to serve God through being a priest. Mm-hmm. And many of you right now are being called for religious life. I know you are. Mm-hmm. I feel it in my spirit. Mm-hmm. And the devil wants to stop that. The devil wants to tell you you shouldn't say yes. And whether it be a full-time religious vocation or just being more involved in the church, there is this spiritual battle going on all the time. And mm-hmm. you probably had that, Father,
yeah.
in which some people may mm-hmm. have questioned, what are you doing? You know, yeah. you have so much promise. You could be an engineer yeah. and so forth. And how did you fight that battle?
I have heard that one, especially from my father. No. Mm-hmm. Because I'm the eldest boy in the mm-hmm. family, and obviously he has also a dream for me. But at that time also, really, I just enjoyed serving the Lord. But the most important thing that I realized that I've been through so many things that happened in my life, but I can summarize it in one word, love.
Amen.
God loved me so much. No.
And they'll yeah. know that we are Christians by our love. Do you yeah. know that song, yes. by the yeah. way? Mm-hmm. You want me to sing it? And they'll know that we're Christians by our love. Okay, don't turn it off. Don't turn off. Don't switch the channel. Okay. In any case, it is true. And Glenda, the first time I met you, Glenda Myra Antonio, who is founder, CEO, president, and I should say Dr. Glenda, and she was not a doctor before, but now she's a doctor. She created this worldwide organization of philanthropy in which she's helping Catholic parishes and orders really fulfill their calling in really blessing people by being financially stable. And what led you into this area?
Well, for the past years of my experience before I got into this business, I was working as a selling photocopiers, and God led me always to the market of the religious. And I saw that there was more that I can offer, and there was this big challenge on sustainability of mission, wherein if we don't help them in the area of resources, the spiritual focus will be out in the picture, because I see a lot of organizations diverting their focus on looking for money as opposed to doing the spiritual side of the mission. So what I advocate for is to create the empowerment among everyone else to embrace philanthropy and come in and put our role to help the church, we as lay people, where we can work and collaborate with them so that we can take our role to share our resources and put philanthropy as a collaborative contribution to the church.
And what year did you start?
2008. So it's like a decade already that I've been journeying with organizations towards sustainability, working with the church and with the donors and making them feel, establish their relationship.
What could you say, in your opinion, is the biggest accomplishment, number one accomplishment in the last 10 years? Knowing Spirit-Filled Hearts Ministry. Okay.
Okay.
What a great
that was,
answer.
That was
what a great answer.
That was a big highlight.
What's the number one accomplishment?
Yeah. Well, the financial resources is a main source of sustainable goal, but it's totally completely different when you don't put the spiritual side of it. Really, honestly, it's not because I'm here, but because when I felt that the spiritual side of healing and getting to know with the Lord more than the money side was the most remarkable transformation that I have felt over the past years. Like when I knew about Spirit-Filled Hearts, the leaders of my organizations that I've worked with transformed the way they look at sustainability. It isn't not only about money, but it's also the sustainability of the relationship, to trust the Lord that He will provide and that He will send people to make things happen for the mission that we are called for. And that was really the miracle that God sent somebody miles and miles away to let me understand that I'm not going to only focus on the resources of money, but to put the balance of the holistic spirituality of everything.
My brothers and sisters, so many of you out there are involved in ministry. You're involved in raising money for one organization or another. Jesus is very clear in Matthew 6:33. He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, which means doing God's will, and then everything else will be added to it. So many times we get the saying of the cart before the horse. We try to get our problem solved without putting Jesus first in all that we do. Strive for holiness. Strive to let God be at the center of everything you do, and everything will change. And Lourdes Morales, you have taught me that by everything that you do. She is one of the leaders, if not the leader, in Orange County for sure, for Unbound Ministry, but also has been involved in so many different things. Dr. Morales, who is someone who is a great psychologist and someone who is a great evangelist. Tell us about how you answered the call. When did Jesus come to you and say, come follow me?
I have to say that I was raised Catholic, but I never knew the Lord as I know him. You know, I knew him when my daughter was going through cancer. This is her week. It's been 9 years already. Mm-hmm. So since that battle at the hospital, when I saw how she met the Lord, and how I was actually there for her faith, and how she wanted to meet Christ and say, Mom, I'm healed spiritually. And this is why we're here today, because united, even with what's going on with the church, and we just need to see that we need to be healed spiritually. We need to see each other and love each other, as Father Ray said, in everything we do.
My brothers and sisters, as you take a look at John 15:16, it says, it's not you who called me, but I who called you and anointed you to bear fruit, fruit that will remain, so that whatever you ask, whatever I ask of the Father, he may give you. And so the reality is that we are chosen. We are chosen by God. But we have to have that desire. You know, the fourth beatitude says, blessed are they who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for then they will be filled. They will be satisfied. Katie Hughes, who is a foundation of our ministry, one of our founders for Spirit-Filled Hearts, from the very beginning, from the first time I met you, you had this desire to do God's will, the desire to answer the call. And where's that desire come from?
I guess the desire is God's grace to want to serve him. And so the Lord freely gave that to me, and I had the open heart to receive it, and through my own personal healing, the Lord was able to restore me and strengthen me and help see his path for me, you know, one day at a time, which led me into helping other people with healing. So getting involved in prayer meetings that involve healing prayer, and just educating myself on the power of the Holy Spirit in my life, has brought me to this point today.
Amen.
Praise
amen.
God.
Amen. Amen. So we have quite a group here, and we're glad you're listening in. This is Deacon Steve Greco. You're on Empowered by the Spirit. We'll be right back to talk more about how are you being called to answer Jesus. We'll be right back.
This is Deacon Steve Greco, and I'm radio host of the show Empowered by the Spirit. I've recently written a book, Expect and Experience Miracles, that is available on Amazon. And the reason we did that is because the Lord Jesus Christ wants to shower us with his love and shower us with his grace, which is unmerited favor. The definition of miracle is God's supernatural intervention in our lives. And Jesus does that all the time. Let's be open to it. Expect miracles, and you will see the grace that God has in store for you. God bless you all.
Hello, everyone. This is Deacon Steve Greco. We are back here on Empowered by the Spirit. We've got a cast of thousands here today, and two people from the Philippines, Father Ray from San Paulo Apostolate in Manila, Tondo area. We'll be talking a lot more about that. And our partner in Asia, Glenda Myra Antonio, who is president CEO of one of the the great ministries of all time, Spring Rain Global, and two of our partners in ministry, Lourdes Morales and Katie Hughes. We were recently in Indonesia, and you know, when we talk about answering the call, answering the call usually or often means doing things that make you uncomfortable. Okay, and I got a lot of head nods here. Mm-hmm. How about going to what was Borneo, Western Kalimantan? Is that close
enough? West Kalimantan.
West Kalimantan, or close enough, you know, the old Borneo in Indonesia. We were 1,000 square miles, kilometers, of jungle, mm-hmm. of no roads to speak of course, no toilets, one place, no electricity for half the day. Who wants to go there? I mean, you know, let's call it the way it is. I didn't want to go there. What, are you kidding me? You know, why do you want to go there? And, of course, the gift that kept on giving, Glenda and I and one other of our compatriots got dengue virus fever, which can actually kill you, you know. And so we had that gift that came out of it. They call it bone breaker or something, you know, because it you know, it's just awesome. You know, you were bleeding from the gums or something.
Yeah, I was.
Transfusions and everything. You know, and as someone said, we're true missionaries because we got what the natives get, right? You know, I mean, pretty amazing. But being called to go there, it was an amazing experience to go to Indonesia because the people were so hungry. This is the number one Muslim country, 250 million people, about 95% Muslim. And here we are and going to these villages in the jungles in the middle of nowhere, but they were so hungry for Jesus, you know, and they were so open. And that's a big part of it. You know, and my brothers and sisters, it really comes down to this. If not you, then who? If not you, then who? What did you feel like? I know this was, I have to thank you from the bottom of my heart, because I know this was not one of your organization. 10 days.
10 days of away.
10 days of pure bliss, you know. But what an experience, right?
Yeah. I brought my daughter with me.
That's right.
We were supposed to, like, have our U.S. Annual vacation, but I told my daughter, why don't we answer to a call to go to a place you've never been? And my daughter was saying, Mom, are you listening to the radio or the TV? Why? There's bombing in Indonesia. And I said,
oh, yeah.
Oh.
That was awesome.
That was the one that blocked
us. Three churches right before we came.
We came. And my daughter was saying, Mom, are you still going? Well, we have to answer the call and it's going to be a very nice experience. And we did. And it was very inspiring to be there for the people who hungry for the love of Jesus. And I see very transformed feelings of people expressing how their faith were touched. Because after our trip, the sisters were telling us that we missed this kind of spirit that you brought together, even to the sisters who were leading them. And all these years, they were there. And they said that we also reflected that we lack that kind of spirit to really be there when they're there 24 hours with the people. And it took like this kind of reflection that someone from miles away is coming over to say that Jesus loves us. Yeah. That was amazing. And my daughter, I told her, which is better, U.S. or Indonesia? And I said, not when you got sick, Mom. But I offered my sacrifices and experience to all those who hunger for love and faith. And I know God will heal us through. It was something to test my faith. And I said, will I go back there? I don't know. But I said, well, where God leads me, it's only by grace, right?
You know, people ask me, they go, why did you go to Indonesia? Why do you go? Why do you do anything? Why did you go to the Philippines 3 times? Why are you doing what you're doing? Well, one reason only, because Jesus led me to go. It starts with praying. It starts with believing that Jesus is answering your prayer. We have this prayer all the time, Father. Matthew 7:7, Luke 11:9, you're a biblical scholar, so you know what that is. Ask and you will receive, right? Seek and you'll find, knock and the door will be open. Why do we not think that when we ask that we won't receive? You know, Jesus is real. I mean, Jesus says, I will not leave you an orphan. He gave us his Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And we rely on the Spirit to answer the call that God has put in our heart. So you've been part of the Tondo area for how long now?
I went there when I was still a seminary. In the 1990s, I started already working with Tondo people. And at that time, it was very, very tough already, situation in Tondo.
And so when we saw you recently a few months ago, it was the mm-hmm. first time I'd actually been there, and we'd seen you before,
mm-hmm.
and you gave us a glorious welcome and a loving welcome with, mm-hmm. with big smile and so forth. And you were so encouraging. You said, you know, even the cab drivers don't go here.
Yeah, that's true.
Right, they're afraid to go there because of all the bullets flying.
Yeah,
I kept ducking, you know. I know there's some whizzing by me. You know, I didn't know what was going on. But it was amazing. And there was just garbage everywhere, you know. Mm-hmm. And what's Smoky Mountain?
Yeah, Smoky Mountain, a few years ago, that was a dump of garbage. It's really a huge, huge mountain already of garbage now.
A huge mountain of garbage. And everywhere we went, we saw garbage. Mm-hmm. We saw children in the garbage.
In the garbage, yes.
And they were looking for things to sell.
Yeah.
The poverty is unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
And you kept showing us, you know, the whole thing, and we were driving around, and at one point I said, let me roll down the window,
mm-hmm.
and I lasted, I think, 10 seconds.
10 seconds.
Because the fumes are so, remember, Katie?
Yeah.
I mean, the fumes.
Put the window up.
You know, the fume mm-hmm. is so unbelievable,
yeah. mm-hmm.
But they live in that every day.
Yeah, every day. You see, now the government removed that huge, they stopped dumping there. But they are collecting the garbage and then they throw somewhere else. But now we have a problem because there is a company there dumping also the school mining. They put there the coal and then they're selling it within the Metro Manila. But this also bring us a lot of problem with the respiratory problem of the people. Many times we try to stop it. A lot of initiatives we've done, but I don't know. Maybe because the power of money, then they have still there. As you said, it's very difficult for you, especially when you're not used to it, the smell. We just open it for 10 seconds. No? And I told you, that's just a taste of it. No?
Yeah.
And how much more, when you enter really in the communities, you can really see, smell, and you can see the reality of a very dehumanizing situation of our people there. But we have to go on to survive and try to take care of these people. No.
We're with Father Ray mm-hmm. Dagatera, who is the pastor of San Paolo Apostolate, 10 years in the making and still not finished,
mm-hmm.
to have a church that isn't flooding every 10 minutes, because, of course, it doesn't rain in the Philippines, does it?
Oh.
I was there every day. Every day it rained for 10 hours. Mm-hmm. It was unbelievable. But that's normal, right?
Yeah.
And it floods.
Yeah, during rainy days, that's the situation there. Yeah.
And everything floods.
Yeah.
You know, where they live floods.
Mm-hmm.
The current areas, we have the chapels flood.
Mm-hmm.
They can't even go in. They have to get a little boat to go in. I think they can't go in. And yet, there's not enough money to finish it. Mm-hmm. Spirit-Filled Hearts has committed $115,000 to mm-hmm. finish this parish.
Mm-hmm.
You can help us by donating to spiritfilledhearts.org, our website, and you can go to the donate button. Is that right, Katie? And there's a Tondo button, right? T-O-N-D-O, Tondo, and you can press that Tondo button, and that money, 100% of the money, will go directly to Father Ray, San Paolo Apostolate, and it's something that we believe in very strongly. Why? Because the Lord told us.
Yeah.
You know, we're sitting there in this church that isn't finished, and Father says, honestly, he says, you know, we don't have any more money. You know, we have to stop construction.
Mm-hmm.
Stop construction.
Yeah.
It says we've been trying to finish this for 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
We stop construction in the middle of 250,000 people that are there that are literally living in garbage. And this is an oasis. And I, who have been blessed, and we who have been blessed with so much, how could I possibly turn my back on my brothers and sisters? And a recent gospel, it says, who is my mother? Who is my brother? I heard that that's a gospel. Who is my mother? Who is my brothers? You know, people criticize me constantly and they say, well, Deacon Steve, we have poverty here. And of course we do. And many of us are called to answer the call for that poverty, as we are here at Spirit for the Heart. Mm-hmm. However, God gave me three dreams and said, go to the Philippines, meet Glenda. You know, I had to answer that call. When someone calls me up in the middle of the night, well, it felt like it, mm-hmm. called me up and said, we prayed for 6 months and God wants you to go to the Philippines with us. I mean, I didn't orchestrate that. That happened, right? Mm-hmm. Brother Nestor, you know, shout out to him. And the bottom line is this. When God wants you to do something, you do it. Yeah. I'm sure you didn't plan on spending your life in Dondo.
Never dream of it.
Never dream of it, right? Yeah. And then all of a sudden, you get transferred. Yeah. And how do you embrace that? I mean, I can imagine there had to be a point. You show up. You probably knew the area. But you show up, you look around and go, now what?
No, really, when I heard that one, thinking of 250,000 people inside and in just a small square kilometer area, how dense, packedly we are there, you know, knowing the situation, the crimes there, the drugs, the poverty, all the sorts of problems of people, I was thinking, okay, I'll just be there and be with the people, but hopefully not the pastor, because Father Carlo was still there, you know. And I would never have that in my mind that I would be taking care of all these people. And when I heard that, I was appointed as a pastor.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
I asked the Lord, why me?
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Really, it's very tough.
I have a question. How many masses do you do on Sundays?
Oh, my God. we are three priests there assigned. We have 12 to 14 masses during Sundays, you know. And we have to do that one because we have small churches, chapels that we have now. We have to reach out people, so we have to go to their areas now. So that's why we multiply masses in order to reach out these people, because we don't have a place to. So
we're just going to cry out mm-hmm. right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Yeah. Please help us. Mm-hmm. Help the people of Tondo. Mm-hmm. And these people are so much in need of our love and support. And everywhere I went, I saw these small children.
Yeah.
And they come up and they smile and they hug you and they do all these things. And Katie, I saw you just surrounded by children constantly.
I remember there were three little girls especially, and I got to speak with them before the mass that we were having there at the site of the new church. And these little girls, I just wanted to know about their life and their mother worked at the parish. You could tell that they don't have a lot, but they were very sweet and wonderful children. They were taking notes during the homily, just beautiful. And I said, where's your mom? They told me. I said, where's your dad? And they said, oh, he's dead. Mm-hmm. And I just thought, oh, these children are like 4, 5, 6 years old. And there was one little boy who has no one. His father's always away. I forgot his name. But he has this brilliant smile with blackened teeth. And he's so loved by the parish. I can see it. Everyone is helping care for this boy. And it's just this call to serve God.
We're going to be right back. This is Deacon Steve Greco. You're on Empowered by the Spirit to talk more about answering the call.
This is John Romero, music director at Christ Cathedral in Garden Grove, California. We are 1 year away from the dedication of our beautiful cathedral, and we have some spectacular concerts available to you. Check them all out at ChristCathedralMusic.org or on our Facebook page, Christ Cathedral Music. We'd love to see you here.
Christ Cathedral Concerts. Great music in a sacred place. For tickets, visit ChristCathedralMusic.org.
This is Deacon Steve Greco. We're back on Empowered by the Spirit, talking about answering the call. We're talking to some wonderful people from the Philippines, Father Ray Dagatera, who is pastor of San Paolo Apostolate, which is this incredible church that's being built and finished, that we're helping finish in the middle of Tondo, which is one of the poorest of the poor areas. Glenda Myra Antonio, who is present CEO of Spring Rain Global, that works with organizations similar to what we're talking about here with Father Ray, and then two of my partners at Spiritful Hearts Ministry, Lourdes Morales and Katie Hughes. And we're talking about answering the call. And in the middle of this incredibly poor area in Tondo, and here you are, but we don't understand, you know, it says in Isaiah, as high as the heaven is above the earth are my ways above your ways. And we don't understand why things happen, and we're not supposed to understand. I mean, Lourdes, you are one of the leaders of Unbound Ministry, and my guess is, you know, a number of years ago, you would never guess that that was ministry would have been one of your key callings. But what happened in which you knew that you knew that you knew that this was something that you were supposed to do?
What happened was that I was there in the midst of it, and I didn't have anybody around that could actually understand it. So in a way, I began to really get to know the charismatic, you know, and SCRC, a new deacon, and I was able to begin to understand what it is and how we also have to know that there is good and there's God and there's the devil and there's our own ways. Mm-hmm. So in between that call that we have, we do have to understand that there's forces that are not of God, and we do have to discern which ones are those. And that's how I really realized by my own deliverance, that I was able to see my own freedom in Christ, that I could see that many people could have obstacles to being free in Him.
You're going to enjoy this conversation. I'm not going to say what diocese it is, but one of the leaders of a diocese in California called me to come to that diocese and make a difference, and through the Lord, obviously, because the Lord is the one that does it. But she said, you know, Deacon, there are two words that we can't use in this diocese. And those two words are tongues, speaking in tongues. And the second is the word deliverance. And she said, you know, the religious in the diocese, they just freak out, you know, with the word deliverance. Why is that? Why do some people get so afraid of that word? When reality is, my brothers and sisters, Jesus wants you to be set free.
Amen. Yes,
he
amen.
Says, I've come to give you life and life abundantly, John 10:10. He doesn't want you in bondage. He wants you free. I guess that was too loud, Jim. Sorry. Hallelujah. So, you know, I didn't have coffee this morning. I didn't have any caffeine, you know, and I'm just... But
I think,
why is that?
I think it's because of the ignorance, and ignorance is not a bliss in the area of spirituality, because we do have to know what is from God and what is not from God. Even Jesus had to go to the desert, and in the devil actually attacked him. And in a way, all we have to do is know the scripture and understand that in God everything is possible. Through the blood of Christ, we are free. However, the devil deceives us. So in not knowing that, and, you know, deliverance is part of healing. So, you know, in a way, sometimes there's no healing if there are spirits in the person. So both of those are working together for the kingdom of God.
Jesus wants us healed, my brothers and sisters. We take a look at Mark 16:18. It says, lay hands on the sick and they will recover. The reality is that spiritually, mentally, emotionally, physically, there's issues with all of us. Mm-hmm. And how does Jesus heal? According to how he wants to heal. You know, we may pray for people for physical healing and they may have a spiritual healing. We may pray for people for emotional healing and they may have a different type of healing, whatever it might be. But the one thing for sure that we know that Jesus wants to bless and heal us. And as we take a look at the people of Tondo again, Father, they just want a life like we all do. They want to be blessed. They want to be healed. Mm-hmm. They want to be loved and so forth. Mm-hmm. And what I saw when I was there is how much you and the sisters and your brother priests and all the leaders there are just reaching out to love the people, because that is the answer. Mm-hmm. Answering the call means answering the call by taking the love of Jesus on as our mantle within our heart, soul, might, and strength. So tell us more about that. How does your priests, your sisters, the people that you work with, in the midst of this great poverty, how do you love those people?
You see, for us as a Canossian, it is very important the concept of the mystery of incarnation. When we affirm that indeed Jesus is here, He is with us.
Amen.
And that is the beauty there, that we, loving people, is not something only of doing many, many things, but I believe it is part of us to make them realize that God loved them in a way of how we try to bring Jesus to them in a very, as you said, so difficult situation. And even people are complaining, Father, why is it that we are experiencing all this?
Right.
Why is it that we are suffering? And we can see people, when they cannot handle this suffering, they are also hurting other people. And our cardinal, I cannot really forget, as I mentioned before, yesterday during our Mass, in our homily, the cardinal told us that, yeah, in the midst of darkness, in the midst of evil situation, we can only fight the devil when we continue to be good and constantly focus on doing good to others in the name of Jesus. And I believe the presence, our presence with them, listening to them, be with them, even though we cannot do much materially because we cannot have, we don't have also. But I believe the presence, to listen to them, to be with them, no matter what is going on in their lives, I think that is the most important thing, that in spite of their situation, somebody is there to care for them. Somebody is there to love them. Somebody is there to give them hope.
To be a purveyor of hope is what God has called us to be. And as you take a look at Romans 8, it says there's no condemnation in Christ Jesus. So many people feel condemned. They feel like they've sinned and God could never forgive them.
Yeah.
But the 8th chapter of Romans says nothing can separate you from the love of God. Nothing. Neither height nor depth, angels or principalities, present things or future things, nothing can separate you from the love of God. Katie Hughes, we are being called to take back the darkness. You know, we talk about that a lot in our ministry, Spirit-Filled Hearts, that God has called us in the midst of this present darkness, you know, within so many areas, sin and so forth, addictions and so forth, we are to be the light of Christ.
Amen. So true. And the light penetrates the darkness, and we have a choice to make in our lives. We can focus on our own misery and our own darkness, or we turn it around and we love those, because when we help other people know how much Jesus loves them, they become a light. And as we, as the body of Christ, are lights in the world in this time of darkness that we are faced with, it's transforming. It can transform our world. Prayer, loving one another, loving those who hate you, being charitable to those you don't understand their situation, no matter what. You give freely. God has given us so much in so many ways. You give freely back. The Lord blesses that, and His blessings are light in the world, and He can use us. And the more of us who are bringing that light to everyone, the darkness flees.
I didn't write this. I didn't make this up. Jesus says, do not hide your light. Do not hood it. Put it under a bushel basket, right? Yeah. Sit on top of a hill, on top of a mountain. Let your light shine. And in the midst of this darkness, in the midst of our crisis within this church, it's interesting, Glenda, how people are responding. I don't know what it's like in the Philippines, but it's a pretty big deal here, you know, because of Pennsylvania and so forth. And people are arguing about all the time. You know, they're arguing about what needs to be done, and they're getting angry and so forth. And I certainly can understand that. I mean, it's really a horrific situation. But for me, I'm motivated to be the light of Christ even more in the midst of this darkness, to be that beacon of hope, as you mentioned, Father. And there are so many people that are, and I hear about this, of course, because we raise money for the Philippines, and oh man, do I hear about this constantly, about, oh, there's so much corruption, how do you know the money is going where it's supposed to be going? You know, I hear this constantly, and I know you're worldwide and you're in the U.S., you know, but people are doubt, 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 doubt. You know, how do you overcome that? You know, because you are the light of Christ. And thank you for your yes, Glenda. Mm-hmm. You are an inspiration to me with all the different organizations, Catholic organizations mm-hmm. you work with. But how do you respond to those types of things?
Yeah, it's more of knowing a level of contentment in our lives. When we don't set our level, nothing is enough. And people will always say, I don't have enough. Mm-hmm. But I've come to realize that it's all about going beyond your comfort zone to see that there's more that you can offer. There's always problems among Filipinos. Mostly Filipinos who come to the U.S. are always doing charity back home. And it's always like charity begins at home. And if I help other people, I have to first help myself. But when we help ourselves and our own families, it grows and grows and grows until it just stands out there. But there are also, we have to show them and let them see the situation. Because sometimes when we don't see the situation, Filipinos basically are very generous. We are very generous. But there's that element of responsibility to help us see the situation and make us get into there. Because I've also seen other groups getting the feel of what's happening, like in Tondo, Father. Mm-hmm. Like, people in the U.S. felt a lot of good lives, improved lives, and a dollar is 50 pesos in the Philippines.
54, let's say.
54, let's just say.
You see?
But if you, say, give $10, that's 500 in peso, that can already feed quite a number of children. And if you do the economics of scale and really see the knowledge and the information and the situation, that might be the way to transform. Because some people, they get blinded. I don't want to listen to it because I see this one and this one. And I think it's a grace also to come to a reflection that we cannot take our wealth when we die. And we have to take it to the level where God will bless us more when we bless other people continuously.
I was recently in the hospital with my brothers and sisters for 9 days, And it's amazing when you're in a hospital, right? All of a sudden, all you think about is, for me anyway, my life, you know, and of course I was thinking about, am I ever going to get out of here? You know, but you start thinking about, what have I done? What's what God wants me to do? And I began to realize that we obviously have no control. You know, you'd think you'd know that, right? Mm-hmm. But out of the blue, it comes in which all of a sudden you're in the hospital. And I realized more than ever that every single second counts, my brothers and sisters. Mm-hmm. And we're going to come right back to talk more about answering the call. You're on Empowered by the Spirit. God wants you to say yes to Him, to get off the sidelines and say yes. We'll be right back.
The passing of a loved one is a difficult and often sorrowful step in life's journey. The helpful and supportive staff at the Cathedral Memorial Garden Cemetery, located on the 34-acre iconic Christ Cathedral campus in the center of Orange County, are here to assist you and your family through this transition. The more than 1 acre Cathedral Memorial Gardens is unique in Orange County, offering a central location, serene garden-like grounds, majestic fountains, and a dramatic statuary, all set within the soaring architectural gem of the Christ Cathedral campus. Cathedral Memorial Gardens now has beautiful glass front niches. Single, companion, and family four spaces are now available with interior LED lighting with decorative trim that will display your loved one's urn with dignity forever. For more information, please visit memorialgardens.christcathedralcalifornia.org or contact 714-489-6102. 714-489-6102.
Hello, everyone. This is Deacon Steve Greco. We are back here on Empowered by the Spirit, and we're so excited to be talking about this very important topic of answering the call. And we're with Father Ray D'Agaterra, who is pastor of San Paolo Apostolate, Linda Myra Antonio, who is the CEO and president of Spring Rain Global, Lourdes Morales and Katie Hughes, both evangelists and very heavily involved in a number of ministries, both within Spirit-Filled Hearts and outside of it. So much going on in which we can make a difference. You know, I want to just say that it really comes down to one thing, a little more than one thing. But let's start in the beginning. What's the most important thing? To desire it. To desire it. God answers the desires of your heart. And so it comes down to the fact that we have to say what is important to us. And Lord, as we think about that reality, we have a lot of different choices, right? You know, we can go after material things. We can go after money. People go after titles. They get one degree after another. They go all over the place. But without Jesus, without God, we have nothing.
We have nothing. So my daughter used to say, this is not it. And this is not it, but we are all here, and the kingdom of God is here with us. So Jesus said to love each other, and all we can do is love each other, not just in the good moments, but also in the moments of sadness, in the moments of poverty, in the moments of abandonment. And that's what Spirit-Filled Hearts does. That's what we are here for. To be there for each other, and in this case, to help out those that are in need. And we have this opportunity, and each day we do have an opportunity to love.
And that's what it's all about, my brothers and sisters, is how is God calling you to manifest that love? I'm going to say that again. How is God calling you to manifest that love? How do you build, Father Ray, how do you build a parish-wide group of volunteers? Because you have so much poverty and so much need there. You can't do it with three priests. There's no way.
Yeah.
How do you get people excited about the Lord, excited about using their gifts, excited about, you know, making a difference? How do you do that?
Yeah, I think it's unthinkable, you see, when people felt that they are loved so much, when somebody's caring for them, when especially when they don't have anything to turn to, but the parish is there. No. And you see, when they realize that, it's not something that you have to ask them. They will just come because they feel that, hey, I've been loved, I've experienced so much, and it's time for me to give. It's time for me to share. And that's amazing. No. You see, when the power of love will touch hearts of people, it just come out. And they want also to share their life and anything what they can for the people, for their own people. And as I've said, you see, a lot of people are helping us. And even they don't know you. But you see, God is there. And that is really the time that I can see also them, that when they realize, yes, God is there. And I think it is also our time to make this a reality, that God is really with us.
God is with us every second of every day, my brothers and sisters. Yeah. He said, I will not abandon you. I will not leave you an orphan. Mm-hmm. I bring you my Holy Spirit. I have to say, you know, the first time I went to the Philippines, I went for, I think it was about 16, 17 days, went all over most of the Philippines. Of course, there was another typhoon and I couldn't go north. But one person stood out. I saw the Holy Spirit hovering over her, and that was Glenda. And, you know, with that big smile on her face, and this was a few years ago now, and wow, has your organization changed and grown, and God has blessed it. And but your organization, basically, you've got some paid people within your staff, but overall, it's a group of volunteers. Mm-hmm. And how do you build a vibrant organization of volunteers to answer the call? How does that happen?
It's God's grace to imagine that people, bishops, leaders who are so busy with what they're doing is answering to the call to unite with me in this ministry called Philanthropy and Love for Humanity. And we believe that we cannot do it alone, that even if we struggle as a single organization, we have to form a family. And that forming a family in a foundation among each other makes our individual struggle become a unified vision. And the Spirit is so powerful when we're many. And when two or three big organizations gather, everything becomes lighter. A small organization becomes very strong with a big organization. And when I was amazed, but I said, Lord, this is not me anymore. If bishops are listening to me, if provincial superiors are listening to me, I am nobody, but I came to answer God's call to be a channel and say boldly, Lord, it's you, and if you make me, call me for this work, you make all these people listen. And I never realized, because I was praying for the spiritual side, really, of what is going to happen for the spiritual side. And it's from outside the country that will lead us here. And for all the years that we've been together, Deacon, the different development offices, and you will affirm with me on that, Father Ray, they are feeling so differently with the presence of the spirit-filled hearts by the spirit that they've felt beyond them. And everything is so excited. And they're like 60 of them, and they're lining up and saying, when are we going to have next time with Deacon? So it was like experiencing the spirit. And I said, God's grace is moving. It's moving. And I could imagine how, if our leaders in our organizations would move in this direction, we will be an answer to other people's prayers. And if we are a channel to answer other people's prayers, many are with that vision with us, and it's grace.
And we have to realize that we are in a war. It is a battle. It is not easy.
Yeah.
We're trying to raise all of this money again to finish this church, 10 years in the making, San Paulo apostolate in the middle of the poor area, one of the poorest areas in all the world, in Tondo, to make a difference, to be an oasis. The Lord is leading some of you to donate right now, and we're asking you to go to spiritfilledhearts.org, look under the Tondo donate button. And Katie,
I just want to share, you can learn more and see the visual impact of the people of Tondo. We have a special video on our homepage, and right below it is the donate button for Tondo. But please view it. It has the visual aspect, the story, and also there's a message from Cardinal Tagle, who blessed us with helping promote this fundraising for San Pablo Apostle. So we just feel the Lord's grace and his anointing on this. And it's not about us. It's about what God wants. And so we're answering the call, and we ask you to join us. So go to spiritfilledhearts.org. Thank you.
Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Whatever your vision is, whatever your calling is, say yes to it. It may look dark at times, right, Glenda? There are times where it looks kind of dark, but that's right before the dawn. That's right before the sun comes out. In fact, I'm totally convinced the greater the challenge, the greater the miracles.
Amen.
Amen, amen, amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah, the greater the challenge, the greater the miracles. You can expect to have challenges.
Exactly. Exactly. It's the measure of how much you put in. You can imagine God's, they say, if God calls you for extraordinary purpose, he provides extraordinary resources. And I always believe in that. I mean, that's why when you said, I'll finish the church, I have no doubt, no doubt about it, that God will just orchestrate, and the right people and organization will come for the same purpose they are called.
And one of you out there is being called right now. Maybe more than one. But, you know, again, spiritfulhearts.org, come donate, finish this church. Look at the videos, as Katie said. It's really amazing. But I can't turn my back. We can't turn our back on when we're called to do something. Not everyone is called to do everything. You know, in fact, you take a look at 1 Corinthians 12, it says one spirit, many gifts. Yeah. Everyone's called to do different things. So, I mean, I get that. Whatever you're being called to do, be passionate about it and let the Lord lead you. Right now, we cannot turn our back on those in Manila that are working and living in garbage, the children. As I laid in that bed for 9 days recently with a bowel obstruction and this horrific recovery period with the NG tube, right? You know, through me for eight of the 9 days. And I said, why, Lord? Why, Lord? And the answer was, for the children of Tondo, to embrace your suffering for the children of Tondo, for the children that have nothing, as it relates to not even having a roof over their heads in some cases, for the children of Tondo, make a difference. And Father, just in summary, we are called to make a difference by just saying yes to Jesus.
Yes, sir. You see, we are living in miracles always. You know? And when we plan, we dream of a church, people are also criticizing us. How can you make that one? It's so huge. It's so big. You know? And when I ask people, why are we doing this? Father, is it a mistake to dream? Can we also dream? This is a symbol of hope. This is a symbol of unity. Why can't we make it? And that makes me, it gives me an inspiration also. Yes, we can, with the help of the Lord. That's why I said that we are living miracles always, every day in Tondo. As you see the reality of poverty there, people believe in miracles. That every day is a miracle. Every Amen. Day is a grace. Every day is always God's presence to us.
My brothers and sisters, the definition of miracle is God's supernatural intervention in our lives. I've recently written two books, Expecting Experience Miracles and Overcoming Adversity Through Miracles, available on Amazon. And so take a look at that and you can order them. But we promote and advocate that God is the God of healing, of miracles. God is the God of transformation, that Jesus is real and he's calling to us. He wants us to give him 100%. He doesn't want you lukewarm. He wants you to surrender your heart, your soul, your might to him. And when that happens, everything changes. I want to actually thank you, everyone here who has been on the show. Thank you from the bottom of my heart. You've made such a big difference for our listening audience. I'm praying that you answer whatever call God is asking of you in Jesus' name, so that you say yes to Jesus. And Father, would you mind closing us in prayer?
So in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Amen. Lord, we thank you for everything, your presence to us, your love to us, that in spite of our own sinfulness, our own weaknesses, that many times we forget your love for us. But here you are, Lord. You continue to be with us. You continue to bless us. You continue to give us life, beautiful life. You continue to show us that indeed this world is not just darkness. It's not just problems, not just troubles around. But there is love. There is hope. There is your kingdom. And we are really grateful to you, Lord, to allow us to see the beauty of this world by helping each other, be with each other, and be allowing your presence with each other. And we are asking you, Lord, to continue to bless, especially those who are really in difficult situation in this moment, with the problems, the sickness, the burdens that they're carrying on, and many sufferings that they went through. Lord, strengthen them, be with them, and give them hope. We ask this through Christ our Lord.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, and God bless you all. We'll be with you next week at the same time.
We're thrilled that you joined us today on Empowered by the Spirit, right here on Relevant Radio. Empowered by the Spirit is a production of Spirit-Filled Hearts Ministry. If you've been encouraged by what you've heard here on Empowered by the Spirit, contact us by email at empowered@spiritfilledhearts.org. That's empowered@spiritfilledhearts.org. We look forward to being with you again right here next week on Empowered by the Spirit on Relevant Radio.
Prayer is powerful. Hi, this is Bishop Tan Nguyen of the Diocese of Orange, and prayer to God through the Blessed Mother is even more powerful. Let's pray right now for an end to abortion in our country. Let's pray 100 million memorare this year for an end to abortion and the protection of human life, from the moment of conception to natural death. If we pray one memorare an hour, we will reach our goal by the end of the year. So let us pray. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to thy protection, implored thy help, or sought thy intercession, was left unaided. Inspired with this confidence, I fly unto thee, O Virgin, O Virgin, our Mother, to Thee do I come. Before Thee I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of Thy Word Incarnate, despise not my petition, but in Thy clemency hear and answer me. Amen.